Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Definitely see good to see everyone here this morning. Those who are listening by way of the radio, we're thankful for them as well. Real quick, I want to say it's such a blessing to be here and to be able to say that we take for granted the ability to assemble. And so let us be thankful for these times. Let's be encouraged during these times. I do want to say thank you to Brother Raphael. It really was his Sunday to preach. And I asked him, could I have a couple words to say? He said, no, you take the whole thing. And I appreciate that. When we consider what Jesus said on one occasion, in Luke 18 and verse number 8, Jesus asked a question. Remember, in the context of that persistent widow and that unjust judge, he asked the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Jesus is still looking for that. When we consider some of the words that we want to share on this morning, friends, this is a time for deep trust in God, deep conviction. And hope, pray, and trust that we'll continue to foster that as time continues to go forward. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is in prison. He is writing the church at Ephesus a grand letter. And he begins to finish off this letter by using the word finally. He addresses his brethren and he tells them, notice, to be strong. Notice the location in the Lord and in the power of His might. We consider some of the words there, and I found it very interesting. The idea of being strong literally means to be strengthened, to be strong, to be endued with strength. But I think I like this definition, to receive strength. How do we receive strength even today? We receive strength through the word. We receive strength through encouragement. We receive strength through our prayer and meditation life. And Paul tells these good brethren here at Ephesus to be strong in the Lord. Reminded what the Hebrews writer tells them, to provoke one another unto love and good works, stirring one another up, irritating one another in a way that we will be involved in love and good works. To put on the whole armor of God, leaving nothing off, leaving nothing out, that we may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks of the devil. We stop and we consider that the fight that we're in, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against ideologies, against ideas, against the minds of men. I find it very interesting that Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We stop and we consider those things, friends, it's still a fight even today. This is why we need each other. This is why we have to encourage one another. And this is why we have to remain in the book, the Bible, the Word of God, the mind of God. And so we're taking up the whole armor of God. And as Paul is writing this, he's talking to these good brethren at Ephesus. And he tells them in verse number 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. that you may be able to withstand, which means that there's no way to withstand without the armor. We got to put the armor on and keep it on. We can't take it off for nothing. And so it reminds me of some great principles of our faith. And it reminded me of Moses back in the day. You remember when the children of Israel had just been delivered out of Egyptian bondage. Now they are confronted by the Red Sea and they have Pharaoh and his army behind them. You remember what Moses told the children of Israel in Exodus 14 and verse number 13? I hope this is a word of encouragement for you. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. You know, we need to hear words like that. We need to be reminded of those words as the people of God. And I dare not chide anyone here, nor anyone listening, nor anyone in the state of the United States of America, or the country of the United States of America. Why? Because those of us who are striving to do the will of God need to be encouraged right now. Encouraged to do that which is right. Encouraged to remain strong. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. No wonder Moses telling the children of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And friends, we need those words even today. You remember in Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 30, when the 10 came with that negative report, Brother Brian, and they were all in an uproar. And the Bible teaches us in Numbers 13 and verse number 30 that Caleb quieted the people and told him, let's go possess the land that God gave us. Friend, there is a land that God has given us. It's called life. Life with God. Let's go possess it. Let's not turn from it. Remember in Luke chapter 21 and verse number 19, just as Caleb calmed the spirits of the children of Israel, Jesus says in Luke 21 and verse number 19, we must do the same thing. Yet Jesus said it in his own way. In Luke 21 and verse number 19, by your patience possess ye your souls. Hang in there. And while you're hanging in there, possess your souls. Encourage your souls. Educate your souls. Why? Because it is through the proper education that we can fortify ourselves by putting on the whole armor of God. It's through the proper spiritual education that in the midst of tough times, we hold on. We don't give up, nor do we give out. Seven things I want us to consider, and the lesson will be yours. Number one, if we want to continue to look to Jesus, if we want to continue to keep this armor on, number one, we need to give thanks to God for the way things are. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18, in everything, isn't that interesting? Not only when it's good, but when it's not so good. And really, friends, even though it may not be as good as people want it, it's still not as bad as it could be. And with that being said, in everything, give thanks. Why? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. We need to, number two, pray without ceasing. That's the very verse before that. Pray without stopping. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, Paul exhorts Timothy to exhort the brethren to pray for those who are in leadership, those in government, those who are in authority. Friends, we need to continue to do that. I was talking to a few brethren a while back, and I told them, you know, we ought to be very thankful, and I usually don't get too involved in things like this, that we have a religious-friendly president and a religious-friendly governor. We ought to be thankful for those things and continue to keep them in our prayers. But not only should we do that, but we ought to be praying for the leaders of the Lord's church. We ought to be praying for them, and the reason why is because they are leading the people. Reminded on one occasion, and a very sad occasion, in the book of Isaiah, when God told Isaiah that my leaders have caused the people to go astray. The people of God, their leaders have caused them to go astray. We don't ever want to be like that. So we ought to be praying for those who are in authority, praying for our leaders, praying for one another, encouraging one another. Number three, we need to watch our words. We need to watch our words. There are some Christians right now saying things they shouldn't be saying to other people. We need to watch our words right now. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, let's turn there. We have to be very careful how we're talking right now. Speak truth to people. Encourage people. Strengthen them. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. But make sure that we do it in the right manner. In Colossians chapter 4, starting at verse number 4, this will help us keep our armor on as well. Notice what the Bible here says in Colossians 4. That I may make manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, those who are outside of the church, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, in order that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Friends, let's watch our words right now. Let's not get caught up in our emotions right now. Let's always be logical in our thinking, Christ-like in our thinking. Why? Because the last thing we want to do, especially to the Lord's church, is strike it when we ought to be speaking to her. Let's be careful with our words right now. Let's make sure that we stand on the truth. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 32, reminded of what Paul told those Ephesian elders, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build us up and give us an inheritance. God's word builds up. We need to strengthen one another, encourage one another, help one another. See a brother or a sister going wayward, do something to help them back on track. Don't help them stay off track. Number 4. When we consider the fourth one, the Lord hasn't forsaken us. Let's trust him. In Hebrews 13 and verse number 5, take notice what the Bible there says. And I believe that many Christians need to put this in their memory and keep it in their memory. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. You know, that might help most of the Americans when they go to the grocery store, right? Some people are just picking up too much. Be content with what you have. Why? Especially those of us as children of God. Notice the latter part of the verse. For he himself had said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's our attitude. That's our encouragement, friends. And so the Lord hasn't forsaken us. He has never forsaken his people. Again, as Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And remember what Peter said in John 6, verse number 63. When everyone left the Lord, what did Peter say? To whom shall we go? You got the words of eternal life, friends. We're not leaving the Lord. And since the Lord won't leave us, let's stay with him. Look at Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, as we continue this thought process of being strong in the Lord, I tell you, friends, this is not the first epidemic that our God has seen. Probably won't be the last. This is not the first storm that our God has endured. Probably won't be the last. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, notice this is in the context of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And for time's sake, remember, notice what Jesus said in verse 26 and following. You remember the storm that was taking place, and Jesus is in the hinder part of the ship, and the disciples say, Lord, we're perishing. And he said to them in verse 26, why are you so fearful? Friends, let's not be afraid. One thing, when you really are fearful, be careful when you're fearful, because you make bad decisions when you're fearful. I promise you, you will make bad decisions. Take a step back. Think things through. Go to God in prayer. Get two or three good Christian friends, brethren, and think some things through before you make any decisions. My father-in-law said one time on one occasion, don't make a decision when you're too high or too low. Be level-headed. And here Jesus actually tells his disciples, why are you fearful? I can understand Jesus is in the hinder part of the ship. If Jesus is not disturbed, we shouldn't be. He says, oh, ye a little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Again, God has always been about calming his people, and then he'll calm the storm. Number 5. Allow this fire to strengthen our faith. What do you mean, Brother Mike? What fire? Friends, the things that we're going through as a nation is fire. It's pruning. It's honing. It's purifying. It's purging right now. In 1 Peter chapter 1, turn your Bibles there. And as I was pondering, I had a good brother send me a text this morning, and this verse was in the text. I'm like, man, that's going to go right in my notes. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. If you would take notice in the previous verses, he's talking about the inheritance. He's talking about the location of the inheritance. He's talking about the beauty of the inheritance and the eternality of the inheritance. And so in verse number 6, he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You think we've been grieved? Yes. People's finances, people's jobs, people's lives, people are just disturbed. People don't want to touch one another, and rightfully so. But we're disturbed. At least some are. Can I make this comment? Don't get disturbed if some are not. And those who are not disturbed, don't get disturbed if some are. Because sometimes when someone is not disturbed by the circumstances, you're not in touch. You act nonchalant. You act like you don't care. That's not true. I just know who's in the back of the ship, sleep. And the more we know he's asleep back there, the better off we are. Okay? It's okay. And it is the job of the leaders of the people to keep people calm. Because if the leader's in shambles and shaking, usually the people are too. That's why we keep our eyes on Jesus. He's never shaken by stuff like this. Keep your eyes on him. Notice the latter part of verse 6. If need be, you have been grieved by various trials, verse 7, that the genuineness, the truth of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Friends, we're going to go through some things. Right now we're going through some things. Right now what America needs is Christians, members of the Lord's church, the church of Christ, to remain as calm as possible, keeping their eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. When everyone else is frantic, and you feel like being frantic, you remain calm right then and get into your room, and you take that to God in prayer. But you show them that I'm okay, and God is in control of this ship. And friends, he is. And God is in control whether or not we believe it or not. He's still in control. And he will always be in control. He always wants his people to be a people of courage, courage, courage. Of faith, 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 love, 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 and rejoicing. I'm reminded of what Jesus was looking for. Look at Luke 7 and verse number 9 as we come to some type of closure. I found this passage to be very comforting this morning as I was pondering, thinking. These type of situations require a special type of lesson, special type of thoughts. It's not the run-of-the-mill something that you've already prepared, that's something that's already in your file cabinet or something already on your computer. You need to be thinking these things through. People need to know certain things during these particular times. It's like when the president gives an address. He's not addressing as if it's just some modern day or everyday thing. No, I'm addressing a situation. But in Luke 7 and verse number 9, when Jesus heard these things, the context is dealing with the centurion and his servant. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. Can you imagine God looking down and marveling at us? The very thing that pleases God, Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, faith. The very thing that Satan wants to take from us or cause it to fade or to diminish or even be divorced from us is faith. If he can attack your faith, he'll take the bottom out of you. He knows that because it's the foundation. Because when you build on your faith, Everything else is going to stand. But if he could take that foundation from you, that's really what he's doing. That's really what he wants to do. And notice what Jesus says. And turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found. Anytime someone says, I haven't found something, that means he's been looking for it. Jesus is looking for something. I have not found such great faith. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So then faith, when we consider faith, trust, confidence, credence with God, without faith it's impossible to please God. I have not found such great faith, not even among my own people, not even in Israel. Friends, let God see faith in you. And the very fact that you're here is faith in you. The very fact that we have those who are listening is faith. We appreciate that. We want to keep them encouraged. Keep each other encouraged. Call one another. Strengthen one another. Strengthen your elders. Strengthen the deacons. Everyone needs strengthening right now. Why? Because all of us want to see each other on that last day. And we want to live with God throughout eternity. Last but not least, I said seven points. I'll give you six. Philippians 4, verse number 4. We'll end with this passage. Brother Chad, you about ready for the... Okay. In Philippians 4, in verse number 4, we want to make sure that we continue to rejoice in the Lord. Friends, I know it's tough sometimes. But I guarantee you, if you keep reading and meditating on what God's word says and hone in on the message... All these other messages, if you're not careful, they'll cause you to become disturbed. Keep your eyes on the Lord. I'm not saying don't read. I'm not saying don't listen to what other folk are saying. I'm saying keep your eyes on him. Know what he says. So when other folk are saying things that go against what God's word says, we can say, okay, I heard what you said, but I need to go here. I need to stay here. Got people who have a doom and gloom mentality. The Bible demonstrates to me to rejoice. So I'm going to walk around with a smile on my face. I know I got eternal life. I know I'm going to live with God throughout eternity. I know those who are faithful are going to continue to do what God says. And I'm going to build them up, lift them up, hold them up. And I'm not going to let no one stop me from doing that. So I'm going to rejoice. And so, if I ask you, are you happy? But you don't look happy. You ought to be. Notice what Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. You know one thing that we ought to rejoice about? We ought to rejoice that we have a new body coming one day. We ought to rejoice that we're going to spend our lives with God throughout eternity one day. We ought to rejoice that Jesus Christ is going to come back and make all things right one day. We ought to rejoice at those words. And so I beg you, I plead with you, don't lose heart. Don't faint. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And don't look back. But let's also plead with some people who are struggling with some things in their life right now. And let's invite them to put their hands on the plow. Let's invite them, like, come plow with me. I'm plowing right now. I need you to come over here because, no, I'm plowing right now. If I look back, I'm not fit. Let's get some people fit to plow. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to be encouraged. And the only way you can truly know that you're encouraged is to put away sin. Put away all of the negativity and the things that is going on in this world. This is the perfect time to obey the gospel. This is the perfect time to put on Jesus. This is the perfect time to be a member of the Church of Christ. This is the perfect time right now. Perfect. Why? Because to look around you, storm is raging. But on the inside of the boat, it's just like this. Call. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. you're willing to turn away from sin through repentance, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Or maybe you're a child of God and, well, you're nervous. Well, it's all right to be nervous, just don't stay nervous. It's going to be okay. I'm reminded of what Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Oh, I can't wait till y'all see me in a box. Because then I know I'll be like Paul. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. As we stand and sing Savior's invitation.